This is a kind of a fun show today. So, and I'm doing stuff off the cuff. And this is from Mary Poppins. And I love saying this word on the radio. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me nails a tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word to say we ain't the nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Use his word and all would say there goes a clever gent.
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word and leave me off me off the tea.
Ooh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always have a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Docious alley expiastic fragicali rufus, but that's going a bit too far, don't you think? So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word and then you've got a lot to say. But better use it carefully or it could cheat your life.
For example?
Yes?
One night I said it to me girl, and now me girl's me wife. Oh, and a lovely thing she is too.
She's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
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 Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Expialidocious. There, I said it. Yeah, if you're just tuning in, this is Coral. This is Coral FM. And I have an interview that I'm going to air that I did this morning with Mark Ledbetter, who is playing Bert in Mary Poppins at the Dunfield Theatre, the brand new Dunfield Theatre out in Cambridge. So here's a little bit about Mark, just to tell you. This is his Drayton Entertainment debut. He was in the Broadway production of A Christmas Story, and he was also in Anything Goes, and he actually worked with somebody very famous. I'm not going to tell you who, because he tells you during the interview. He's also understudied and frequently performed the role of Bert and Mary Poppins on Broadway for almost 2 years. He was Robert Martin in The Drowsy Chaperone. Yay! Great Canadian musical. Phil Davis in Erling Berlin's A White Christmas. Jimmy in Thoroughly Modern Millie, and he was also in The Tin Pan Alley Rag. He was also in the film The Producers opposite Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. And he's got lots of other stuff happening as well. So here's a wee chat that I did with Mark Ledbetter from Mary Poppins on Coral FM.
Excited to talk to you. This is great. You're like a, I'm sure you've been told this lots of times, but you're a triple threat. A total triple threat.
Oh, thank you. That's kind of you to say. I appreciate it.
Because you're playing Bert.
Yeah.
And you've been playing Bert, for a while. Like, you sort of know this, Mary Poppins really well.
Yes. No, I do. I did the show for about 2 years on Broadway, where I understudied and got the opportunity to perform the role quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And but this came along, and it's exciting because it's a show that obviously means a lot to me, and I really enjoy it. But it's also a brand new production and
right.
new staging, new direction, new scenery, obviously a new cast, and so that's exciting because it's a chance to kind of rediscover the role, rediscover the show, find new things, and no two shows are ever identical, so it allows for a lot of discovery, which is exciting.
Hence the beauty of live theater.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what do you like best about the character of Bert? Like, what's your backstory for him?
Well, I think he's sort of a be-all man. They used to call him a matchstick man, and I think what I enjoy about him is his attitude towards life, and the joy he shares and brings to others. That sort of always looking for the fun and everything and the joy and all of that, and sharing that with the kids is what really is kind of my focus for the whole thing, is keeping an eye on them, and so it's that's sort of where I kind of start from when I was we're approaching the rehearsals and whatnot, is how to interact with the kids and change their outlook on their nanny and their life and their family and all that.
And their father.
Yes, exactly. Primarily, of course.
Mr. Banks.
Yes.
And I love the fact that he and Mary have, you know, this great kind of affection between them, but
absolutely,
it's just understood.
It is. It's an understood thing because I think it's one of those relationships where they know it could never really be more because she comes and goes, and you never know when she's going to appear again. You know, so I think, but he treasures and just every moment when she is around, and they get to have these wonderful adventures, and it sort of completes him in a way for that time, and that's. I think he loves all of that. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, it's a wonderful, wonderful kind of partnership relationship. It is.
It is. It's very cool. And I think, like, Bert, he'd make the perfect father. you know, he doesn't have kids. Well, he kind of has the chimney sweeps, I guess.
He's got the sweeps, yeah. He's got a lot of kids his own age, I guess, and older, yeah. But, absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought about that. Bert and Mary together, they would have been great parents with great kids.
Absolutely.
So I always look behind the backstory behind the backstory.
No, sure, sure. Beyond the beyond.
Beyond the beyond. Do you have a favorite part in this production?
In this production, I really love, there's a scene in the end of Act Two where Bert has with Mr. Banks, mm-hmm. where after the vase breaks and he discovers, and it's sort of a nice, tender, quiet little scene and song where it really begins to bring Mr. Banks around, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful scene. The actor James Call, who plays George Banks, is a superb actor, and I really, really enjoy that moment. But I also, I'm having a great time with Jamie, who plays Mary.
Yeah.
We pretty much all we do is laugh throughout rehearsals, and Jolly Holiday is just a lot of fun because it's a chance to kind of just sing and dance around with her the whole time. So that one's also a pretty high fave for me.
I would think so. Is it hard to sing Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Oh, my goodness, it is. That one takes breath like you wouldn't believe. It's sort of a never-ending song, and it keeps going faster and faster, and the dancing is so, so cardiovascular and everything. It is. It's a tough one to get out, and that company is working. That company of dancers, actors are working their tails off and doing an incredible job with it. The choreography is really wonderful. You know, having done the Broadway, it's hard to imagine anything else. But Lee Constantine, our choreographer, she did an incredible job of coming up with a new way of presenting that word in a really fun and exciting way. And it's a workout for sure, but it's a ton of fun.
I'm guessing. Do you? This is the inaugural season of the Dunfield Theater. And the space, comments on the space and working.
Oh, my goodness. This is an incredible, incredible space. Drayton's really done something that's really, I don't know, exists anywhere else, where they have this gorgeous 500-seat plush state-of-the-art, seats. Everything about it is just everything you would hope for as an audience member and also as an actor. The connection to the audience, and it's all in this huge facility that includes rehearsal studios in the building, as well as their scene shop, an enormous wardrobe costume shop, paint shop, prop shop, and on top of that, there's their offices for all the the behind-the-scenes work in that sense, and then also there's living. There's dorms for actors to live in. It's where I'm actually living. So on a snowy day like today, it's nice that I literally just walk downstairs and I'm here at the theater. It's a beautiful facility, and there are not many like that in all of North America, I would say, that kind of combine. And at a time when, places are not building new theaters and creating new opportunities for the arts, and
no.
I think it's a wonderful contribution for this community is really going to thrive, I think, even more so as a result. It's only going to bring more people and draw more exciting things to this city, the city of Cambridge.
This,
I think it's really wonderful.
I think you're right, and Alex has been...
Oh, well, Alex
we
talking.
Go way back. Alex and I, we were in high school together. He was in a production of Oklahoma. You played Judd. And then I think we were in Carousel together, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Brilliant.
And,
he is really the charging force behind all this, and it's truly an incredible vision and his drive to make this all happen and to bring a high-quality level of entertainment, of stage entertainment, of theater, to all of these regions here in Ontario. It's really spectacular. I don't know theater. There is no other theater company that I know of that has actually running 7 different theaters with,
yes,
you know, productions running at the same time, and he clearly, I mean, he employs hundreds of actors, and he cares very much about them. I mean, he treats everyone like family, and is very loyal to all of them, and that's just, you know, that's a rare commodity, and I think almost in any workplace, let alone in the theater.
I think what happens because he was an actor first.
Sure.
He knows all the angles. He knows how everybody feels in all aspects of the theater.
No, absolutely. And still acting. I know he still gets up on stage behind the curtain for the shows that Drayton does, and rightly so. I mean, it's really wonderful, and this building is a real top-notch.
It is a very top-notch facility. And years ago, I interviewed a young actor named Robert Crichton.
Oh, sure. I know Bobby C. real well. He's one of my dearest friends.
Well, I think I interviewed him when he was first starting out. Alex directed him in Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Oh, of course.
For
of course.
Mr. Mustache Productions.
Oh, my goodness. No, Robert and I recently worked together in the Broadway revival of Anything Goes on Broadway. We performed in that together, and we've also done some corporate jobs, and we've just been really played a lot of golf together and good friends. And he just closed a new show on Broadway. But Bobby's a wonderful tribute to Canadian actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's a great representative. And
speaking of Anything Goes, you played a number of roles in this show, including Moonface Martin.
I did, actually. The role was played by Joel Grey, and along with Bobby, we both understudied, and I had a great opportunity to go on for him and perform that role opposite Sutton Foster, as well as getting to play Lord Evelyn Oakley opposite Joel Grey and Sutton Foster in the role of Reno Sweeney. It was truly remarkable. Kind of, how does it get better than this?
I have that written down. Does it get any better than that, working opposite Joel Grey?
No, truly. I had a wonderful experience working with him, and maintained a good friendship with him since, He's truly an ambassador for the theater, and one of the greats, the legend in his own time. It was a real privilege to get to work and watch him work. Yeah.
Well, you've done some interesting. Can you tell me a theater junkie?
Mm-hmm.
You did West Side Story. So interesting. You played Tony and Riff.
Yes, I had the fortune. I've actually done both roles twice.
Yeah.
Two different times. Professionally, I graduated with a Bachelor of Music in opera, vocal performance, as well as with a degree in acting and theater, and also did quite a bit of studying of dance. So, yeah, I've had the great opportunity to get to sing that show as well as dance it, and that's a real treat, especially a show that's so, in my opinion, kind of the perfect musical West Side Story.
It is. Know? It has everything in it.
Yeah.
I need to ask you this question. I need to rewind. Who inspired you to become a singer/dancer/actor? What show did you see that ignited it, the spark?
I'm not sure what show in particular. You know, my grandmother started taking me to the local shows, the touring shows that would come through town when I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in third grade, the high school production high school was doing a production of The Music Man. With my red hair, I tend to resemble a young Ron Howard, and so I started kind of there for me, and then doing just the plays and musicals at school, but I really got into the singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I was given Fred Astaire's biography by one of my aunts, and that really kind of tuned me into all those classic movie musicals, Singing in the Rain.
You got a Gene Kelly thing.
And so I started really watching those, and I asked if I could start taking tap classes. It's that sort of where it started. The momentum began to build with my love of the performing and singing and dancing. I'm very grateful. I've had wonderful teachers over the years, both in high school, but then also in college. Studied at Northwestern University, just outside Chicago, great dance and acting, and Woodrow, my acting instructor, Billy Sigenfeld, Dominic Massimi, the head of the program there.
Right.
Wonderful teachers, and then I've continued to study. And truly, one of the greatest places I've gotten to study has been the work I've been doing professionally, getting to watch actors like Joel Grey to work opposite Sutton Foster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the being involved in these types of productions in Mary Poppins on Broadway, to work regionally and explore new roles and things like that. I mean, it's a constant learning experience.
Yeah.
This has been a wonderful one here at the Dumfield Theater. This has been a great one as well.
This is kind of a trend. I've noticed this. musicals are being based on movies. So they did it with Young Frankenstein.
Sure.
But they also did it with A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
So, and I know you were in this. So
yes.
I have to ask you what character you played.
I played a bunch of different characters in A Christmas Story.
A swing,
that was a,
yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I played in the very famous tongue on the flagpole scene,
mm-hmm.
I played a policeman in that ends up, you know, tearing the kid's tongue off, and there was a few of us that played those roles.
That
also
was
played,
Flick. Yep.
You know, with Flick, and if yep. you remember in the movie, you know, Ralphie constantly is having these little fantasies where he's, scaring off bandits,
yep.
and so in one of his main large fantasy, I played a villain that ties his teacher and kidnaps her, and Miss Shields, the teacher, and so I played that and then I played a parent. We played parents to all the kids throughout the show, and different
hilarious.
Friends of Ralphie's parents, of the old man and
mm-hmm.
mother. Yeah,
I had a friend of mine that worked on the movie,
mm-hmm.
and he created the leg lamp. That leg lamp. So
brilliant.
I just thought I should tell you that.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. He worked on the movie, and I was like, hey, they're making it into a musical.
Oh,
and
I tell you, they did an incredible job. The show was just really spectacular. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they directed by John Rando, choreography mm-hmm. by Warren Carlyle, and the music, these two young up-and-coming writers, Ben Pasek and Justin Paul, I mean, they just did an incredible job of capturing all those wonderful moments that you love from the movie and then taking them and growing them and building them using the tools of musical theater, of song and dance.
Mm.
And, I mean, it was really spectacular. The show was a huge, huge smash hit on Broadway this last holiday season, and I'm sure it's going to be around for many years to come now.
It's a modern classic.
It's going to be seen. Hopefully, you know, I'm sure it'll be produced all over, and hopefully audiences everywhere will get to share in it, because it's a real spectacular. It's got so much heart, and truly, the kids that we had there in the production in New York, those were some of the most talented kids I've ever worked with. I mean,
that's great, and it's growing the audiences of tomorrow, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Nigel West.
Oh.
He's big.
Oh, my gosh,
so,
wonderful. What a treat. He was our director here, the production of Mary Poppins here at Drayton.
Yes.
He, you know, I had heard of him from other friends. I had colleagues of mine and people I highly respect who had worked with him, and had nothing but wonderful things to say about him, and they were all true. I mean, it was really, you know, you never know what to expect, a new experience, new director, and it was, you know, going into a production that I knew very well, but it going to be a new production, and his approach to it, his taking the time to really work through all the scenes and really suss out, you know, what's going on, and really putting a new touch. I mean, he was integral in the kind of one of the things we discovered within this production was finding ways to get Bert more involved in the storytelling of the show, and with not only with the scenic changes but also in the helping along of the story in the background, you know, in the way that Bert is watching and sort of taking overseeing part in the story, in the change that's going on with the Banks family.
Well,
and I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that being that much more connected to the story and the arc that the family has alongside Mary Poppins. And,
I think Bert is a pivotal role. I think
he's
the one that makes Mr. Banks see the light. He makes George see the light,
I think.
Yeah,
at that moment. I think at that moment it was sort of, you know, I think at that moment in the play, while I'm right before that scene begins, I have a nice little connection with Jamie Armstrong, who plays Mary. And it's sort of one of those where Jamie sort of gives me a little nod, as if to say, here, you take this one. You know, this is your turn now.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for him to come around. So it's truly a wonderful role and an icon, you know, originated by Dick Van Dyke in the movie, who truly was a legend, a thankfully still living legend. And, you know, man, I certainly grew up watching this film and absolutely adoring it and him, and so it's really a privilege to get to play. But we were in great hands with the leadership of Nigel. I'm very grateful for that.
I think
he and Lee both just wonderful.
I think my favorite song is "I Love to Laugh."
Oh, I know from the movie. Sure, the tea party on the ceiling, of course. No, I know, and it's interesting when they were putting this show together originally. Cameron McIntosh teamed up with Disney.
Yeah,
you know, they finally obtained the rights from P.L. Travers for the stories.
Right.
And one of the things they did that's so wonderful is they combined not only the great scenes from the movie, but they also went back to those original children's stories that P.L. Travers wrote and found some real gems, some real kind of wonderful pieces and stories from there, and included them in the show that I think are exciting, because that way you don't necessarily know everything you're going to see when you come to the show.
No, you just know, oh, it's Mary Poppins, she's looking after two kids, and she's friends with a chimney sweep.
Yeah.
And that's all we know.
Yeah, no, sure, but it's wonderful. No, it is.
There's something else I wanted to ask you. There's a few things, actually.
Sure, sure.
The Honeymooners. Now, this is something you're working on right now.
Are you
working on this?
I'm not right at this
not
moment.
Not right this very moment.
I did, this last December, we did a reading of it, kind of a workshop reading of it, directed by Jerry Mitchell. And it's a wonderful new piece, basically taking the classic television show.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten the approval from the television studios with this. They've been the first people to really get the blessing. And they've created a musical around those characters and some using their stories. And it's really quite, quite wonderful. I'm not sure what the next step's going to be.
Okay.
The old Globe was going to produce it. I'm not sure whether that is still happening. I believe it's been put off for a little while, but that's all. I don't think the show is by any stretch done. It's certainly going to have a life, and I'm excited to be a part of it, and hopefully will continue to be. It's a neat show. It's so funny. It's a testament to how truly funny Jackie Gleason and Art Carney were in that show way back. That kind of comedy still rings as true today as it did then. It's really, really, really great.
It does too. It stands the test of time. I actually work in a video store, and we have episodes of The Honeymooners, and every once in a while we'll put them on. You hear,
oh,
turn the moon, turn the moon, Alice.
Oh my gosh.
Great.
So funny. Michael McGraw played the role of the Jackie Gleason role, Tony Award winner Michael, and it just absolutely captures it. I mean, it's just really spectacular. He is really, really wonderful.
Something else I wanted to ask you. You did a Capital One commercial with Jimmy Fallon?
I did. Right before I flew up here, actually, the weekend before, I was booked in one of those Capital One spots alongside Jimmy Fallon, myself, and two other actors. We were sort of a doo-wop backup singers for him. And so that was a lot of fun to spend a couple of days working on that. I don't even know if it's aired yet or if it's where it's airing or anything, but it was a lot of fun to do. It was sort of an all-day thing, and you never really know how those things are going to turn out. But Jimmy couldn't have been nicer and more generous with his time as far as, you know, just getting it done and also working with us. And we helped. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That was a lot
really
of fun.
Neat. Hopefully it'll run all over, maybe up here as well. Yeah,
I'll watch for it. And the other thing is, you got to sing at a Leafs Senators game. How the heck did this
come about? That was fantastic. That was when I was touring through Toronto with the first national tour of The Drowsy Chaperone.
Oh, yeah, that's a great
musical that had its, you know, original origins
Bob
here.
Martin.
In,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And Bob Martin was in the production there. We were playing the Elgin Theater downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go sing the Canadian National Anthem, and I actually had to sing the middle verse in French as well. And
I
so got to, and in fact, you know who I took with me to the game was none other than Bobby Creighton. He happened to be home in Toronto visiting family, and I called him up and said, "Hey, listen, I got an extra, a guest pass for my, you know, to go to the game and sing the anthem." So he came with me. It was a real, I mean, man, talk about a rush standing on center ice there at the Leafs downtown and singing. It was fantastic. It was
you
really,
have a great
really
voice.
Cool.
You have a fabulous voice. There's something else too with, you know, shows like Glee and Smash.
Sure.
Do you think the audience, like, I think musical theater, at one point, musical theater sort of like, it's kind of like, it was sort of waning a little bit. Now I think it's really hot.
No, like, I think it's certainly been reinvigorated and as an art form and as a popular art form
mm-hmm.
via those television shows and also through the movie musicals that are now
mm-hmm.
being made, you know, I mean, or remade, you know, that are huge smash hits. You know, I think it all started there, truthfully, with Chicago when they made turn that into a big movie musical, and it was such a smash hit. And that, you know, then since then they've done others. Mamma Mia, Hairspray was a huge hit, you know. And I think and then most recently, of course, Les Mis.
Les Mis and the Book of Mormon is the other one.
Yes, no, of course. But so it'll, I think it's, but certainly those shows and these film versions of these shows have been really, really integral in bringing musical theater back to the forefront of current popular culture.
I think so too.
I think where it belongs, truthfully, it's another medium for storytelling and a truly great one that can't be captured anywhere else. It's live. It's theater. It's not. You can't change the channel. You can't DVR it, PVR it. You know.
No.
You can't. You know. Video or whatever. It's you have to be you as an audience member or an active participant.
That's right. You are sitting
in an audience, and you the actors on stage are performing for you, and also taking what you're giving them as an audience member and running with that. It's an amazing art form. Really, really is.
It is. I think most of the actors I talk to say, if I ask them, we'd like film, television, they always say theater, because theater has that unexpected element, because the audience is there and it's live. So you never know what's going to happen
next.
And it's
a wonderful opportunity, because you'll discover things and moments will happen on stage, and you can never repeat them because of the circumstances that brought you to that moment on that particular night, or you know the way that audience is reacting. And when you have those moments, it's a real special thing.
It is. You're right. Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you probably. Do you have a show today?
We have two shows today. Yeah, we got a matinee and then a show this evening here. Yeah, two and 7:30. We run here through April 28th.
I'm definitely going to come and see the show.
Wonderful.
You have to say hi to Bobby for me. Coral, who? What?
No. I'm sure he'll remember. Bobby's great like that. He remembers everybody.
Do you have a favorite song? Because I always, whenever I talk to an actor, I always ask him for a favorite song.
A favorite just musical theater song? Or
any
just song
you
general?
Want. Doesn't matter.
Song in general. Mm-hmm. Favorite song. I love Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
And I love James Taylor as well.
Okay.
What is like just a favorite song? Oh, you know what it is? I got it. It's Mr. Melody. This is my favorite song right now. This song brings me so much joy. I can't even begin to tell you. It's it's by Natalie Cole.
Okay.
It's called Mr. Melody, and I guarantee you, if you go download or listen to this song, you will be singing and dancing along with it in no time, and it will be on repeat one for quite a while.
Okay, I'll try and I'll find it, and I'll play it on the show for you this afternoon.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Mr. Melody by Natalie Cole, yeah.
It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much, Coral. I appreciate it. So much fun.
This is awesome. So I'm going to come and see the show, and if I do, I'll pop backstage.
Oh, please do. Yeah, send a note back. Let me know you're here. Absolutely.
I shall.
All right.
Anyway, break a leg this afternoon.
Thanks.
Bert.
Thanks so much,
okay.
Coral. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, Mr. Melody, you're on my mind constantly, and I think of you the whole day long. Hey, Mr. Melody, you mean the whole world to me. Without you, I would have no song. Hey, Mr. Melody, you got me humming to your crazy beat. The more I hear, the more I like, you really made a hit for me. Mr. Melody, Mr. Melody, you are my melody. You do the sweetest things to me. Please won't you stay here for all. To know you're mine all the time, yeah. Oh, Mr. Melody, you love who it makes me sing. I like loving you, you like loving me. Please don't ever change, Mr. Melody, Mr. Melody, Mr. Melody,
Mr.
Melody. Yeah. Oh, scuba-dubba-doo-yow, scuba-dubba-doo-yow, scuba-dubba-doo-yow. Dwayne, Dwayne.
That was from Mark Ledbetter, who plays Bert in Mary Poppins, which is at the Dunfield Theater right now until April 28th. And I guess they have matinees, which is very cool. He's a Broadway actor, and he's, you know, a triple threat, and he's got a great voice, and he's got that, you know, gotta dance kind of thing happening. So very, very cool. If you want to know more about Mark, he's got a great website. It shows you everything he's been working on. He's worked opposite several amazing people. Like, he was in the movie version of The Producers with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. He's done some television, done some stuff. And, you know, he talked about working with Jimmy Fallon in a Capital One commercial. But he's also done, Drowsy Chaperone, which is very cool. And Anything Goes, A Christmas Story, Tin Pan Alley Rag. And this Honeymooner sounds very, very interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing this. I think he'll be great at Bert. He seems very happy-go-lucky.